Everything from clothing to household items are getting more expensive each day. American Giant is about keeping things simple and close to home. They aren't affected by tariffs because their products never leave the U.S. Support American-made tariff-free clothing with American Giant with American Giant. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off when you use code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.
With my colleague Charles Pellegrino, the author of Last Train from Hiroshima, which is republished as To Hell and Back. It is the story of the survivors of Hiroshima who traveled to Nagasaki for work and other reasons and were survivors of the second blast, the Nagasaki attack several days later. Charlie, a detail about the Enola Gay dropping the bomb and the blast in Hiroshima. Was the expectation by the U.S. Army Air Force and or by the Truman administration that one blast would be enough, or did they always plan on two?
Tippett had told the crew when it was revealed what they were carrying, he believed that this bomb would end the war, that one bomb would be it, that it would end it. What no one in the U.S. knew was then there was a revolution within the palace itself by some of the warlords, and that they refused. And the emperor had been leaning there toward, look, Russia is entering the war. We'd rather be taken over by the U.S. than Russia. China is defeating our forces, that we should surrender. And according to Charles Sweeney, who was the pilot who dropped the second atomic bomb, in the emperor's writings, he saw the atomic bomb as a thing where the emperor could refer to a terrible inhuman weapon and save face and surrender. That was Charles Sweeney's opinion. But the emperor was actually held a prisoner in his own palace. Because it was sacred, the warlords didn't kill him. Then there was a rebellion against the warlords. This is now 5 days after Nagasaki is bombed, and the emperor was allowed to give the surrender on September 15th, on August 15th. August 9th was the day of the Nagasaki bombing.
Let's go to Nagasaki. This is not a uranium bomb. This is a plutonium bomb. A fat man, which you tell me was named for a certain famous Englishman. In any event, the original target is Kakura. Why did they divert?
Charles Sweeney had looked at the maps. He knew the cities of Kokura and Nagasaki as well as he knew every line in the palm of his hand or his own hometown. And he knew that there was a huge civilian population in Nagasaki. He almost got court-martialed because he flew over heavy fire over Kokura. He made three passes trying to target the city by sight and drop the bomb over this purely military base. His plane was almost out of fuel and on the verge of losing the bomb by the time they passed over Nagasaki. The bomb was dropped more than a mile off course, mile and a half, over the town next door, which was Urakami. And but Sweeney, he had some real problems with hitting a city that had schools for the blind, the largest Christian community in that part of the world, and just a huge civilian population. And he put himself and his plane at risk.
The uranium bomb and the plutonium bomb, what's the difference, Charlie?
The bomb that detonated over Nagasaki was almost twice as powerful as the bomb that detonated over Hiroshima. So Hiroshima, if you were 8 miles away, you could get severely sunburned by the flash. Nagasaki, that flash effect went out 40 miles. If it were a dry area like California during a drought, you would have had a hurricane 80 miles across, a hurricane of fire that reached all the way through the stratosphere. A hypercane is what scientists call it. And that was a Model T bomb. That was about the power of what kinds of bombs are being developed now in for example, Iran.
The effect of the bomb. Where was Yamaguchi when it struck?
He was actually a little bit closer during the more powerful bomb. He was in the Mitsubishi office downriver in Nagasaki, and he was trying to convince his forces, his bosses, and the engineers that what happened in Hiroshima was one bomb and no one would believe him. His main boss was saying, you have a head injury, you've gone mental. There's no way that one bomb could have done all that to a city. And then there was the flash outside. And he had told people, when you see the flash, you must duck down immediately, which saved everyone in his office. Everyone else throughout the rest of the building died.
Of glass
particles. Because most of the building disappeared, except that that office was behind a steel and concrete stairwell that produced a kind of shadow shield in just that room.
There was another survivor who was in a workshop, and what I recall is that he knew to hit the deck as soon as he saw the flash. Nobody else did, and it was glass that killed them. Do I remember correctly?
There were not a double survivor who was killed by glass, no.
No.
Yamaguchi had seen a group of boys who were walking. Several had seen people who had glass from windows embedded in their skin. And as they walked by, you could hear the clinking of the glass. All sorts of strange horrors that come out of nuclear explosions. There was a kite maker, a military kite maker, making observation kites. He survived Hiroshima, went to Nagasaki, was in his art shop talking to his wife and his child. And they were rather bored by this whole story at the moment. And there was the flash outside. And he jumped on his wife and child and jumped down into a little storage bin with them, and they survived. The whole shop and house, up to about the height of their waist, was just pulled away into the sky and dropped across the street, and they survived in this little hole in the floor with no injuries at all.
They were
also south of where the Black Rain in Nagasaki was. So another one who lived to old age, they didn't get extreme radiation exposure, and they were completely uninjured.
Who were the Hibakusha?
Those are the people who were exposed. And in Japan, people, if you were in your first trimester and you were irradiated, that child was either stillborn or very, very malformed, and still, usually the stillborn children first trimester, they were very, very deformed. And that caused a panic that went on for decades. If you were exposed to the radiation, you were not allowed to marry. And because children were getting sick with leukemia during the next decade, and people who were exposed were developing cancer, as Japan built up its technology and its income, the people of Hiroshima and Nagasaki and their children and even their grandchildren were being denied jobs, university. They were basically being denied life. So a lot of them lived in secret. They moved to the north of Japan. They started families. One was explaining to me that she married a guy who was exposed in Hiroshima, in Nagasaki, and he told her afterward, after they had two healthy children, that he was one of the exposed. And she said, okay, I love you. You love me. We're all right.
And Charlie, the story today, where is the Enola Gay?
It's in one of the satellite museums of the Smithsonian Institution. There was a whole controversy over whether it could be in the Air and Space Museum. And so it's in one of the satellite museums.
For people who want to see the
right.
B-29 that dropped
right.
the first atomic weapon in anger in August 6, 1945. One more detail, Charlie. We've got about 30 seconds. Your book, of course, is important, but you tell me the stories keep coming, right? There's more information because publication brings information. 30 seconds.
Right. Ever since 2010, first through the Hiroshima and Nagasaki museums, and now through the families I've gotten to know, some of them have become like extended family of my family. I still continue to receive stories from survivors. many of whom until 2010 had meant to take their stories to the grave and never tell them. Charles, so I've got another 10 years of work ahead, it seems.
Charles Pellegrino, To Hell and Back is the book that's easiest to acquire. The out-of-print book is Last Train from Hiroshima. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.